Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Facilitator. Good morning to colleagues. Got a few points I wish to make now. The first one is that for the UK, we strongly believe that cooperation and assistance would and should form a central part of a new intersessional programme that is enabled to take decisions. We identified key activities that such a body should do in our working paper 15 for the preparatory committee. There we see the need for a particular focus on combating infectious disease, and that requires how we go about improving surveillance, detection, diagnosis and mitigation capabilities and capacity buildings, especially in less economically developed countries. We also see it's important, given the relationships, that the time allocated in the future programme would also need to look at Article 7 related issues in the same time period, i.e. a week. This is to show that the two articles have a connection, but it is not in any way to diminish the status or importance of either article. The expertise that one would need to see supporting such a working group is relevant to both. However, we must make sure that we do this in conjunction, collaboration and cooperation with the World Health Organization, the World Organization for Animal Health, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, the Global Health Security Agenda, amongst others, as it's important that we don't duplicate our efforts, but we try and work in harmony, therefore identifying any potential gaps and finding ways to address them. So that for us would be a fundamental part of the process. My distinguished Russian colleague mentioned the Russian Federation's proposal in biomedical units, which would be supporting Article 10 related issues. In principle, there are many benefits that we see in this, but I think there are equally a lot of very considerable technical, practical and operational matters. And we think these would be best addressed as a central element in a future work programme to see exactly how we might need them, how they could be established and maintained, and how they would support other working activities by national state parties to this convention and other organisations. And at the end of that work, we need to take a decision on where to move on that question. On implementation mechanisms for Article 10, well, we have been saying since 2006 that we don't see a need for such a structure as has been proposed. There are many national efforts that have been underway that we think give continuing effect to the implementation of Article 10. I'd just like to highlight maybe one or two from the UK compliance report to this conference. That in November 2015, a £1 billion fund known as the Ross Fund was established, and it's managed by the UK Department for International Development and the Department of Health. The Ross Fund aims to develop, test and deliver a range of new products, including vaccines, drugs and diagnoses, to help combat the world's most serious diseases in developing countries. We created this fund for research and development in products for infectious diseases and to strengthen delivery of new products, bringing together UK investments into antimicrobial resistance, diseases with epidemic potential such as Ebola, and neglected tropical diseases. So there's a lot of work that's already going underway, and we don't see a need to duplicate it. On the regulatory aspects, in our report to the conference on the UK compliance, we note that in the period 2011 to 2016, almost 900 export licenses were issued for the transfer of pathogens, toxins and related equipment. There were only four denials. And that statistic speaks volumes in our mind to how the international regime is operating. So we would not favour focus on export control issues per se in a new intersessional programme. Thank you.